Get to the chopper!
You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time.
Oh, what a day! What a lovely day!
I'm gonna take you to the bank. To the blood bank.
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. And hear the lamentation of the women.
Groovy.
Hello and welcome to Good for an Action Movie, the only action movie podcast without a tagline. I'm Max Steele.
And I'm Will Thornton. The action is within us all.
That is much better than my tagline. And we want to welcome you to our second episode of 1000.
Mm-hmm.
This week's episode, we're going to talk about the 2014 movie John Wick. Now, first off, I want to say a little bit about this. Okay, so it was released in the summer, or late fall, I think, of 2014. It was directed by Chad Stahelski and David Leitch. I just want to say, first off, I absolutely love this movie. I suggested it for us to do. I think I saw it in the best possible way because it was just like, it was the year after it was released. It was in a dollar theater and it was like a rainy day. My best friend just said, hey, do you want to go to a movie? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I saw it for like $2.50. I knew nothing about the movie.
Wow.
And it was really good. So I just really liked knowing nothing going into it.
Yeah, I had not seen this movie before I watched it for the podcast. I had heard about it. The first time I heard about it was actually on a podcast I used to listen to starring Ice-T, who was a huge fan of this movie.
Wow, way to name drop, Will.
My good friend Ice-T recommended this movie, and I was like, Ice, you're going to have to wait. And then my friend Max recommended it, and we're watching it now.
Am I your friend Max, or is it the other Max?
Actually, funny you should ask, Ice-T has a dog named Maximus, Spartacus and Maximus, and he recommended John Wick after reading an ad for dog food for a reason you might be able to think about considering the plot of this movie in relation to dogs.
Ah, yeah. All right. So just as every episode, we'll be divided into three sections this podcast. We're going to talk about what was good in the movie, what was bad in the movie, and what was good for an action movie in the movie.
Wow, name drop. Yeah, so a little note about spoilers here on our last episode, which we'd like to thank you for listening to. I'm assuming if you're listening to this right now, you probably listened to our Spider-Man 3 episode. We just went kind of crazy with the spoilers because that movie's been out for a long time. And if you haven't seen Spider-Man 3 by now, you probably don't care about spoilers in that movie. But John Wick's pretty recent and we want people to watch it. We want people to enjoy it. So for movies like this, we're going to try to stay mostly spoiler free, although no guarantee, something could always slip out.
Yeah, with these kind of movies, I think we're all going to be like, if we liked it, we're going to try to give it as little as possible, but still trying to give enough information for you to go see it. Or if you didn't like it, enough information for you not want to see it.
Very true, very true.
All right, so let's get into it. Let's get into what was good about John Wick.
Wow, I have nothing, so just kidding. This movie is... Max does not know what I think about this movie. We did not watch this one together. So
I am so anxious.
He's sitting on the edge of his seat.
I am not even sitting. I am just standing during this podcast.
I like this movie a lot. I have a lot of good things. I think the biggest problem is going to be that this movie has so much action in it. But there's still a lot of other good stuff outside of the action. Do you want me to start? You want me to give something?
Yeah, you can go ahead and start.
My favorite thing about this movie is the basic way it's set up, which is it presents you this world that, let's first say just a little bit about just the basis of what it's about. John Wick is a revenge movie, essentially, of Keanu Reeves plays a ex-hitman, assassin, something like that, who left the business because he got married. He settled down. And his wife dies. She's not killed or anything. She dies from...
just an unnamed disease.
Yeah.
But they're aware that it's going to happen.
Right. So, and he doesn't immediately join the business, and he gets involved with some young punks who, you know, basically treat him poorly, to say the least.
Yeah, they don't know who he is.
Right.
And they come to steal, they come to his house to steal a very nice car of his that he was just driving around the neighborhood. And when John Wick's wife passed away, she... as a gift to John, she bestowed upon him, she bought him a dog.
A very, very cute little puppy.
Little beagle, and it is adorable.
Yeah, it is very cute.
And what happens is that in the confusion of the break-in, the perpetrators kill the dog and steal his car.
Yeah. So that's the setup of the movie. That's not really, I mean, it is a spoiler, but that's the
it
first
happens,
7 minutes of the movie, probably.
Yep.
And the rest of it is just nonstop him trying to seek his revenge. So with the setup there, my favorite thing about this movie is how it is a world where it feels so lived in. Like, everybody has connections. You sort of discover this big, like, network of assassins within, I don't know where they are, New York, maybe. And it's just, like, every character knows every other character because they all used to work together. And there's this, like, they like, a lot of the movie takes place in a hotel where it's, like, assassin safe ground. So, like, they can check in there, and there's all these rules about not doing business, and they have these, like, gold coins that they use as, like...
their own currency.
Yeah, they have their own, like, special currency. And John Wick is... we don't know much about him to start the movie, but then we quickly realize that he is, like, a legend, and it's done so well that you really, really, like, feel like he's, like, oh, man, this guy is the boss. But he's also interacting with all these other trained assassins, and there's so little backstory because the action starts so quick. But that's, like, not a bad thing at all, because you just feel like you're thrust into this world. There's no explanations, but there's not really any are needed, because you're just having so much fun, and, like, it's just done in such a cool way. So that was, like, my favorite thing about this movie.
Yeah, the world that they create is really, really cool.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's really lived in. They explore so many really cool things. Like, even it's really... this is kind of something that I want to talk about. It's funny at a lot of points. It's a very quirky movie too. And a lot of this humor stems from a lot of John's, like, neighbors and people he know who aren't even assassins, like, know that he's an assassin and treat it very, very just, like, nonchalantly.
Yeah.
It's very, like... very funny.
Hi,
Jimmy.
Like, police officers, like, just people that know him, and they're like, oh yeah, this man is incredibly dangerous, he is an assassin, but, like, he's also just, they treat it like that's just his job. Like, it's like if you knew your neighbor was a doctor, but no, your neighbor's just an assassin, but he's not gonna kill you or anything. But yeah, the world is so cool. I love how every character, like, knows each other, and especially how they all know John Wick. That works really, really well in just kind of building him up.
Yeah, and this movie, I wanted to mention, has a really, really great cast. You know, regardless how you feel about Keanu Reeves, he is pretty decent in this movie.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Also, we have Michael Nyquist, who is the main villain.
Yeah.
He's like a Russian mobster. He's very, very good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. I believe he played... he was in the Swedish Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
I think he played the character that Stellan Skarsgård played in the American version.
Okay.
So, like, the weirdo creep.
And he was also one of the Mission Impossibles.
Yeah, I think he might have been recently. Ghost Protocol.
Yeah, he was the bad guy in Prost Protocol. But yeah, Alfie Allen's also in this from Game of Thrones.
Theon Greyjoy.
Yeah, Willem Dafoe's in this movie.
Yeah. Willem Dafoe is very, very good. And just, like, all the little parts are really, really greatly cast. Like, it goes back to, like, the fact that this movie feels so lived in is because there's so much commitment across the board. It also has the guy who plays the Mayhem Man in all those commercials.
Oh, yeah. Dennis from 30 Rock.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's like he's just the assistant to Michael Nyquist.
And he's, like, hilarious in this movie because Michael Nyquist keeps talking in Russian, and he's like, please, English, please. He's just a perfectly American guy. And then there's also the guy who, his name is Toby Leonard Moore, and he plays Wesley in Netflix's Daredevil. And he's very good in the movie too. The cast goes on and on. There are so many big names in this movie. Like, I mean, John Leguizamo just has, like, this tiny little part at the beginning of the movie.
Ian McShane's in it too, from Deadwood. He owns the hotel, and he has two lines in the entire movie.
He doesn't do anything. And I also want to shout out Adrienne Palicki, who plays Miss Perkins, who, if you've seen the movie, she's a very memorable character, and I think she does an awesome job. She's just very, very cool. I like her.
Mm-hmm. The one of the last things I want to say about, like, just in terms of it being a good movie, the reason I respect this movie so much is that it was, and this goes back, this we'll touch on more, like, when we talk about the action, but it was directed by two stuntmen. I don't think they had directed a movie before, like Chad Stahelski and Oh, who's the other? Chris, he's uncredited in the credits, but he directed it as well. David Leitch. They were both stuntmen, and it really shows in, like, the action sequences, but like the fact that they also could direct Keanu Reeves, Willem Dafoe, Michael Nyquist, really high-profile actors, and build that world is just so impressive, considering, like, their training is just as stuntmen.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, the cast was definitely on my number two thing I want to talk about. There's a lot of just technical things. The music in this movie is so good.
Oh, yeah.
The guitars, they play this kind of like, I don't know if it is, but it sounds a lot like a Black Keys song at one point that is used really, really well. And there's like, it's just the music is so good and it fits everything so well. And just the whole movie is very stylish, very like, the way they use colors and lighting, and a lot of it takes place in like dark. There's a scene in a nightclub, which is really, really cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and the coolest part about the stylistic choices, I don't think me and Will could see this when we watched it because, okay, you watched it on SmartFlix, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So on SmartFlix, so we watched it on Netflix Brazil.
yeah, basically.
And all the subtitles are in English like a Netflix subtitles, but that's not how it is in the theatrical release of the movie. Mm. And I was reminded of this because I was watching a scene from the movie on YouTube, and how the theatrical release and how like it is if you watch it like in an American version is that they're stylistic subtitles that almost function as speech bubbles.
Really?
Like when they're talking Russian, it's like it's that, you know, how it's all that John Wick font. It's really, really cool. And it like types out as they say it. It's really, really cool.
I wish I would have seen it like that. Well, that's the price you pay when you use a region banner to watch other countries' Netflix.
Yeah, that's the only thing I have against Brazil. Beautiful country.
Yeah, lovely.
Did you have anything you did not enjoy about the movie, Will?
I thoroughly enjoyed the movie. I had a couple things that bothered me a little bit. My biggest thing is it goes back to the fact that it's lived in, because I was thinking, and this just really took me out of the movie, because the whole setup is that John Wick is this man of mythic proportions and how great of an assassin he is. And he used to work. So the main villain, played by Nyquist, used to be John Wick's boss. And Alfie Allen plays
Yosef.
Yosef, yeah, that's who Nyquist plays. He's Yosef's son. Or is Yosef the son?
Yosef's the son.
Yosef is the son. So he's this crime boss's son, and John Wick used to work for this crime boss. And the way that the movie is instigated is that Alfie Allen disrespects John Wick, and that just felt like blaringly against everything, because I just was like, how does he not know who John Wick is? And that just bothered me a lot, because I think every other character in this movie knows who John Wick is. And that is so cool, because they all know that, like, this is the guy you do not mess with. But this person who is John Wick's old boss's son has never heard of him, does not know what he looks like, or has never heard of anything that he has done. Mm-hmm. And it's more of a plot hole than really a flaw in the movie, but it just kind of bothered me.
I've never really thought about that. I think, well, it's hinted that he knows who John Wick is, but he doesn't know what he looks like.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, like, he doesn't know that it's him, because he's obviously never seen him before, because John Wick got out of the business.
Yeah.
Yusuf would know, like, what was going on. Because, like, there's a scene in the movie where Viggo, who is Michael Nyquist, talks to Yusuf.
Viggo, that's his name.
Yep. And he just says, like, that nobody who you stole the car and killed their dog was John Wick. And he really emphasizes it. So I have a feeling that he knows who that is. He just doesn't recognize him.
Yeah. Even so, it doesn't detract from the film at all, because the film is, I think, the longest section of this podcast is going to be the action part. Cause that's the really, like, the plot of this movie is
really good.
Yeah. Is the action, basically. He's getting revenge. And this is just a little part that just kind of bothered me. Also, this is just another little thing, but this is not a John Wick thing. This is, any movie that does this, but, any movie that does it, I get so frustrated. It's the stupid, gloating villain cliche when the hero could easily be stopped, but the villain decides to gloat and just take his time. And that always bothers me. And I don't want to go too far into it because without spoilers, but in almost always that setup requires some sort of deus ex machina to get the hero
out of the situation.
And
to its credit, it doesn't happen in the climax.
That's true. I mean,
and it's very... I'm sorry. I'll let you.
No. Well, let's say this. After our little outro song, we will discuss this moment in greater detail with full spoilers. That way, you can turn the podcast off if you haven't seen the movie, or you can just, because it's hard to talk about without talking about what happens.
Yeah. Well, I can kind of say something without it happening.
Yeah.
There is a moment like that in the movie, and usually in that moment, a lot of movies will take like a 5-minute break,
right,
where the hero tries to escape. Like Bonds or something like that, and then something happens. But like in John Wick, it's very, very fast.
It is, yeah.
Which is another reason I really like the movie, because there's no dull space in the movie.
Yeah.
Not to say I didn't have any problems with it, because I actually do have a lot.
Yeah, I want to hear what you have to say about problems.
Yeah, I don't like who plays Perkins? Who plays Miss Perkins?
Her name is Adrienne Palicki. You don't like her?
I didn't like her role in the movie. She's another assassin.
Yeah.
And when John Wick goes, gets his revenge, a hit is put on John Wick.
Right.
And Perkins is one of the assassins who's trying to kill him. And I don't know, just feel like a lot of the fights in this movie, and this kind of goes into action, have a lot of stakes in them, just because of, just what John Wick's going through.
Right.
And then, like, I don't get that with Perkins, because she's just killing for money.
Yeah, I think it's just supposed to sort of up the ante. Because, well, in another way, I mean, you like Willem Dafoe's character, right?
Yeah, but I think this is another thing. Like, some of the scenes with him and Keanu are, like, really weird.
Yeah.
It's not easy to watch.
Yeah.
Because they're both really weird actors.
Yeah. We've done two movies back-to-back with a little Dafoe in them.
Hey, this is actually good for a Defoe movie.
Yeah, next week we're doing Platoon.
Yeah.
I don't think that's an action movie. It might be.
It might be.
But, I mean, I like her character. I think it's just sort of an interesting little subplot that just sort of adds some more action to the movie. It adds some, you know, it makes it seem like Viggo, Michael Nyquist, is like going after John Wick with everything he's got. And to see, it's just like an assassin going after an assassin, which I liked it. I thought their fight scene was pretty good, but
I mean, it is good. I don't know, like, and she's not in it that much. Like, it's a very, it's a minor plot, but like, I don't know why. I just didn't like her character. I think it's just her character, because everyone else was so like full fledged. She didn't feel as lived in as the other characters.
Yeah, I can see that.
And then besides that, I mean, Keanu's Keanu. He's not going to be a tremendous actor, but he's not required to be a tremendous actor for this movie.
Yeah, it's he's in the movie like he's in The Matrix. Like, his performance doesn't really add anything to the movie, but it certainly doesn't detract anything. Like, I didn't feel like, I don't really feel like anyone could have done much more with the John Wick role, because it's a lot of fighting and it's a lot of, I mean, you feel for him. Like, it's not like he doesn't give an emotional performance. But yeah, he is Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, he does a good job, but he's Keanu.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, there's like one or two weird scenes. But that's a very minor gripe of mine.
Yeah.
Like, at the beginning, there's a funeral scene, and there's an exchange of dialogue between Willem Dafoe and Keanu Reeves. And it really doesn't make much sense. He could just come in later. Yeah. But they really needed to just establish that Dafoe is in the movie, I think.
Yeah, I also don't really like how the movie begins, which is I mean, I can say this because it's the it begins with John Wick, like, beat up on the pavement, looking at his phone. Like, you get the feeling that you're seeing the end of the movie. And the reason I don't like it is that it's not the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just some random moment. Well, it's towards the end, but it's not the end of the movie.
It's the end, kind of. Well, okay, we'll discuss this after. Well, it's like, I'm trying to think of another movie that does it. Because some movies do it
with what
they start with the end.
Yeah.
It's like 5 minutes before the end.
Memento.
I've actually never seen Memento.
Well, it goes backwards.
Oh, cool. But I don't know. I don't fully like it as well. because it really it because it starts kind really of unnecessary. Well anyway. Yeah. But I mean, it allows you, like, once all the action's over, it kind of glossed over, like, the more emotional part of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're griping about a movie that's really good now, so
yeah, that's in. How good it is. Yeah. We're talking about very minor things.
I know, yeah. It's a very good movie. I don't want to get down on it too much because it's pretty sweet. And speaking of pretty sweet, the action.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I want all of you to get up now. I want you to go to your nearest laptop.
Okay, I'm on.
And I want you to type in on YouTube, John Wick club fight scene.
John, let me type that in. J-O.
Okay, I want all of you to do that.
It's in my recent searches.
I just want you to watch that and see how cool it is. It is one of the coolest fight scenes I have ever seen in my life.
30-second ad. Give me one sec. yeah, it's very, very cool. My props to the directors, the stunt choreographers.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a ballet. Like, it's so...
That was the one word that I thought.
Yeah, it's ballet. like a very hyper-violent ballet. It, like, everyone's getting shot in the face, and characters are doing, like... But it's not super unrealistic. People aren't doing flips, and this is not The Matrix. Like, it feels like this guy's just very good.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, the club fight sequence is so cool.
Yeah, there's like three main, like, fights. There's, like, one at the beginning where John Wick's in his house. Yeah. That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Because after the hits put out on him, like, a bunch of people come to his house.
Yeah.
And then there's a club fight scene in the middle where he's trying to find Yusuf.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, one big fight scene at the end. But they're just incredible. Like, if you think of, like, this is what I think of when I think of a John Wick fight scene. I think of the, like, artistry that a Bruce Lee or Jackie Chan fight scene goes into, but with guns rather than fists, which has never really been done before, which is really, really cool.
It's so cool. And one of the things I like about it a lot is it makes you feel like John Wick is such a veteran, because he does this all the time where he'll have someone, but he's shooting people in the face left and right, but sometimes he'll grab someone, but he won't kill them right away because it's not advantageous to him. Like, he has to kill other people, and it happens all the time. He'll, like, grab someone, pin them down, shoot two other people, and then shoot that person. And he does that all the time. And I like
it's
that.
Really cool.
It's not something you ever see in a movie, because it's just like shoot everything that moves. But you get the feeling that, like, he knows he has to balance himself between, like, okay, I got this guy right now. I don't need to worry about him. I'm worried about the guy who's behind me. So I can just hold this guy up against the wall, shoot him, then turn around and shoot this guy. Like, it's just, it was, I just like that. They did that many, many times, and it's so cool.
They also do some really funny things in the action too, because in that same club fight scene, there's a part where John Wick's about to basically execute someone in the middle of the big fight, and he's out of bullets, and he just like punches the guy, takes, like, you know, the 3 seconds it takes to reload, and then he just shoots him. It's, oh my gosh, they do so many cool things just in the middle of all the breaks and stuff. Oh,
it's a good movie. The action. Oh, yeah, I don't even know what else. I mean, I like the fact that John Wick gets beat up. You know, it's like Die Hard, you know.
He
doesn't seem
invincible.
Like, he's very, very good, and he's very, very skilled, but he gets cut, he gets stabbed, he gets punched, he gets thrown off balconies. Like, he's taking a beating throughout this movie. And some of the comic relief is, like, he'll go through this, like, super violent fights, and then he'll, like, stumble back to the hotel just covered in blood and, like, talk to the front desk and be like, I need a doctor. And they're like, yes, sir, of course, because it's an assassin hotel.
Yeah.
And
very, very funny.
Yeah.
Another really cool thing about the action is you can see all the really cool things in the action if you just watch the club scene on YouTube.
Yeah.
But one of the cool things is that in that club scene is a lot of extra diegetic music. It's to the music that's happening in the club, which is really awesome, because so, like, you're in a, at one point he's in, like, a sauna level. It's like a private club level, and there's, like, a really cool, like, a really jazzy song playing, and people are just getting murdered to it, and it's very, very stylistic, very cool.
It is,
and then he gets to the actual dance floor, and there's, like, rave music going on, and there's strobe lights going on. There's so much happening in that. It's such a great, I have watched that club scene. You don't know how many, I don't even know how many times I've watched in the last week just preparing for this.
How do you feel about the final, the climactic action sequence?
Anticlimactic, actually.
I totally agree.
Yeah, it's not as great as they really kind of set up a lot of expectations. The cool thing is that I don't know. There's just not as many cool things going on, but there is a part where John Wick's in a car.
Yeah, that part's cool.
And he, the same like artistry in gunfights earlier, but it's with a car and he's still shooting people.
Yeah. I mean, the ending action sequence is cool, but it's like the longer the movie goes on, the more sort of normal the action sequences get until the end is just basically a fight you've seen in a lot of different movies. Mm-hmm. Sort of the final showdown. It's still good. It's never like boring. It's not, a lot of action gets to the point where it's boring because it's so mindless. It's always very, very well done, but it does, like, that club sequence and the sequence in his house set the bar so high
yeah.
that any climax is going to be like, "Woo, you got a lot to overcome there, Mr. Wick."
Yeah, but then another reason why the climax actually does like kind of draw you into is that you actually are kind of interested in John Wick and Michael Nyquist too. So, and the climax is just basically just them.
Yeah,
and it's pretty cool.
I didn't talk about him in my pros, but he's very good, and I love when movies have sort of a respectable villain.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he carries himself with he's very proud, and he's like, you respect him even if he is. I mean, he's not any more evil than John Wick, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just another member of a mob, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you
he's so, just protecting his son.
Yeah, I mean, that's all he's doing.
Yeah.
Wow, this is a. I've gone through my list.
I will show you. I actually have nothing written down, like, under anything here. I love this movie so much. I've seen it so many times that I just wanted to just see what Will wanted to say and just go off of that.
Yeah, I've only watched it once. I'll definitely watch it again. This is a movie I, like, want to show my dad.
I showed my dad. He liked it. But it's, like, it's a very good second watch movie. A lot of repeatable viewing because, it's not heavy. But it's not like frivolous. It's still substantive. All right. Time for some ratings and recs.
Yeah, absolutely. Ratings and recs. You want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I'm going to give this movie. First we'll do my movie rating, just not taking into account the movie. I'm going to go ahead and give it 3.5 stars. Out of 4 stars.
Okay.
I don't think it's a perfect movie. And, for 4 stars, it's really got to be something that I think is, you know, like not without flaw, but to the point where it's like a level above, you know, almost any other movie I've ever seen. And this is a very, very good movie, but I don't think it goes to that level quite, but it's still really good. Like we said, the world is so stylish and you really feel like you're just thrown into this whole society. That's really, really cool. It's a fun movie.
It's so fun.
I don't know. How long is it? An hour 40?
It's an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah, it's like
so
a lean hour. I don't even think it's that. I think it's like an hour 35. It's a short movie and it just flies by because you're just like, it's just boom, 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 boom.
Oh, believe me, it's an hour and 40 minutes. I know by now.
All right. We'll compromise on an hour and 2 minutes.
It is 2 minutes long. It is a very short movie.
It's just the club sequence.
Oh, gosh. All right. And then what is your action movie ranking?
10 out of 10.
Wow.
10 out of 10. This is good action. I don't have anything else to say. I mean, we didn't even really talk about the effects, but like this isn't a CGI movie. Like this is like stunt. This is a stunt movie, which is really cool. I love that. You get the feeling that the people who made this movie love action movies, which is something I like to I like to be able to feel the like director being like, this would be cool if we did this. And
you know what
things like
was
that.
The inspiration for the movie? It was French filmmaking.
Really?
Yeah. It was the club that the big fight is in is called the Red Circle. It's because the movie is based off of Le Cercle Rouge. I don't speak French, so
Le Cercle Rouge.
Yeah, Le Cercle Rouge, which I've never seen, but now I want to see it. If that's based off of it.
Yeah.
And then do you have a recommendation, Will?
Oh, you want me to give all three of mine in a row?
Oh, I'm sorry. I can.
You do your ratings.
Okay. Cool. So I had a very difficult time. Like while I love this movie, I don't think it's perfect. So I'm going to give it 3 out of 4 stars as a movie.
Wow. Shocker.
I know. Well, that's just because, 3.5 is like, I have a really big difference between 3 and 3.5. 3.5 to me is just like a perfect genre movie. I think it's very, very close for a perfect genre movie,
yeah.
But I think that 3.5 is reserved for like Die Hard and like,
okay.
The Usual Suspects and stuff
I think,
that.
Yeah. I mean, I think something like Die Hard is a 4-star movie.
Yeah. But I'm going to be a little bit more critical just because of what I think a four-star movie is in my mind.
Can you give us a four-star?
A four-star movie?
Yeah.
The Godfather.
Godfather, a four-star action movie.
A four-star action movie? Mad Max Fury Road.
All right, good.
And maybe Die Hard.
Yeah.
Because that's a really good movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, I give it 3 out of stars, which just means it's a good movie. It's an all-around good movie. There's nothing wrong with being a 3-star movie in my book, and I just want to make that clear because I love this movie. And if there's a 3 1/4 star, which I don't believe in, I would definitely give it. And then out of an action movie, I actually gave it a 9.5 out of 10.
Wow.
Well, only because it's not Mad Max Fury Road, which is in my opinion, a 10 out of 10.
That's true. I mean, that's a 10 out of 10 in my opinion too, but I thought this movie's pretty good for its action.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's a good movie. I'll give my... do you have anything else to say?
No.
I'll give my recommendation. Since I like this movie, I'm going to give a... I'm willing to bet we have the same recommendation.
I thought that we would, so I'm not going to give that one.
All right, I'm going to say mine then. Okay. We'll see if it's what you're thinking of. My recommendation, based off... If you like John Wick, or you like movies like John Wick... this is a movie probably a lot of people have seen, but you should totally watch Kill Bill Volume 1.
Oh, okay, cool.
Kill Bill Volume 1 is just a stylistic revenge movie is what it is.
That's a 3.5-star movie for me.
Kill Bill, I mean, it's an amazing movie. The action, Kill Bill Volume 2, it doesn't have a lot of action, which is why I'm recommending Volume 1. But it's kind of a similar thing of one person taking on a whole lot of, people. In sort of their personal crusade to get revenge against those who have wronged them. And I think Kill Bill Volume 1 is better than John Wick. I have seen that movie a million times, and it's so good. So that's my recommendation.
Very, very good movie. I thought you were going to say Mad Max.
No, I mean...
Because they're similar
they're
movies.
Very similar, yeah, in that the plot is the action. It's kind of like Mad Max is... It's like a prolonged car chase, and... John Wick is a prolonged like gunfight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what honestly, I feel bad for John Wick because Mad Max came out so soon after.
Yeah.
I think that it could get a reputation for like one of the best action movies in recent years.
It's very good. I mean,
but Mad Max came out literally 6 months after.
Yeah.
Which is very unfortunate. My recommendation, I did this last week, so I'm just going to do it again. I recommended a book last week. I'm going to recommend another book.
All right.
I just read Catcher in the Rye for the first time.
Wow.
And I would like to recommend that. It's a very, very good book.
Yeah, listen up, you phonies out there. Why don't you open up a book and read Catcher in the Rye?
Yeah, you phonies, so you don't fall off that cliff so I can catch you in the rye.
Catch you in the rye. Yeah, you know, I mean, Catcher in the Rye is basically John Wick in print form.
I don't know. I think I'm just going to give a book recommendation every single week.
I like that. I'll give movies, you give books, because I hate reading, dude.
Dude, I hate watching movies.
That's all I got.
So that's going to be it for Good for an Action Movie today. We do have some thank yous. We want to send out a big shout out to Michael Albeck for helping us for the intro and outro.
That is Michael Albeck.
Michael Fetch all back. We don't know his middle name.
No. Yeah. If you like our little outro song, intro and outro songs, that was that's Michael playing shredding guitar
and jazzy piano.
And jazzy piano.
Do we have any other thank yous?
You know what? No. You know, we built this podcast on our own backs, Max. All right. We don't need to thank anyone else.
I inherited this podcast from my rich father.
I'd like to thank the Academy. I'd like to thank Keanu Reeves. Next week, so that you guys can listen up, we are going to be watching I think it's from 1962, an old movie called Dr. No, the first Bond film.
Mm-hmm.
So
over the course of 1,000 episodes, we will review every single Bond movie twice.
That's true. We're going to go through them, and then we're going to go through them in reverse order. So we're going to have to watch Spectre twice in a row.
Actually, never mind. We're not going to do that.
We're going to watch Dr. No. It's the first James Bond movie. So if you want to watch it to keep up with the podcast, give it a watch. It's a good one.
And this has been
Good for an Action Movie. Woo! We seriously got to stop doing that. That can't become a thing.
I want it to be a thing so bad.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
It's over.
Nothing is over!
Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's over. Go home.
Hasta la vista, baby.
All right, what are we gonna do for the pros and credits?
Oh no, we have to talk about.
I don't want to talk about it. I want to do something funny. Okay, you do it, but I'm gonna talk in a Russian accent.
All right. Yeah, I'm Willem Dafoe. No, I wanted to talk about. If you're listening to this, listen, we're gonna spoil a major part of the movie here. I want to talk about this in greater detail. Willem Dafoe's part in the movie is he's hired to kill John Wick, but they're friends. And I think it's very clever because you think he's trying to assassinate him, but, well, I don't know. But he doesn't. He's actually looking out for him and saves his life on multiple occasions, which is the previously mentioned Deus Ex Machina after John Wick is captured. And he's, okay, this is why I think it's stupid. He is surrounded by a mob of gunmen. Michael Nyquist gives the order to kill him, so they bring out a bunch of cling wrap and try to strangle him. Just shoot him in the head. That would have been the simplest thing ever. I don't understand. That was just like, oh, come on, man. And then they both get shot by Willem Dafoe, and, well, one of them does, and John Wick lives.
Yes.